You need to shut your eyes for a minute and just imagine that you are a soldier and that you're woken up for the day, the ultimate day of battle, and that you are putting on your armour. Think of all the equipment you will need to go into battle. So we got our armour on, the armour of man, and when we think of battles, we think the one in the Bible which we probably most know from Sunday school days is David and Goliath. And let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 to have a look at a few verses. So picture that that armour that you've got on at the moment. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 4. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So Mark's a very tall man. If you can imagine Mark standing on that chair, right, if he's willing to do it, I didn't ask him before, but he would be the height of 9 foot. I'll hold him just so. And then maybe I'm David's height, I'm not sure David's height, but you can get a picture in your mind of as to how big Goliath was. Thanks. I didn't expect you to stay there for the whole episode.
No, yeah, I feel a bit normal.
Verse 5, he had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. That sounds very heavy. I am a maths teacher, but I don't know the imperial compared to the metric system, but that does sound heavy. And he had a bronze armour on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. Once again, a large amount of armour, and a shield bearer went before him. Verse 9, this is Goliath speaking, and you can imagine that Goliath is a very proud man. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and service. So there wasn't it was a lot at stake. It wasn't just an ice cream at the end of it. It was a large thing where one had to serve the other. So it was a lot at stake for David. Right, verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David was not happy. He had gone up against this man, Goliath, was going up against the armies of the living God, going up against God, and David was not happy. Verse 38 and 39. So Saul clothed David with his armour, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armour and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. David didn't even wear armour. And yet, did he need armour? No, he didn't need armour because he had his own armour. He had the armour of God. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in the hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He had his own armour. Verse 37, moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And verse 50, we know how it ends. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. David did not need the armour of man, he had the armour of God. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, one of my favourite passages. In verse 13. Therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. So the belt, as you know, is a very important part of our attire. It is for me anyway, because I know that if I take my belt off now, which I'm not going to do, but if I did take my belt off, I know that my lungs tend to start drooping. So the belt for me is very important, and I assume it is for most other people. And what God is saying here is that gird your waist with truth. So truth is very important to our being, okay? And then he goes on to say, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So you can imagine the breastplate of righteousness covers your breast and your heart, doesn't it? Right? It's protecting our heart. So if you think of the armour of God, think of our heart. Maybe if we turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 20. What comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. And all these things come from within and defile a man. So God is saying we need to protect our heart. And I think in Matthew chapter 5, I think it's verse 8, it talks about blessed is the man. Blessed is he who has a pure heart. So the armour of God, right? Truth is important, as well as protecting our heart, trying to have pure thoughts. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So God wants us to use our footwear to preach the word, to do things for others, okay, in the gospel of peace, getting ready in the preparation, right? So we use our legs that we have, or our feet, or whatever it is, to get out there and to spread the word of God. And it's interesting in Proverbs chapter 6, talks about seven of the things that God hates. A proud look, which was Goliath, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, which talks about that. And it also talks about, verse 18, feet that are swift in running to evil. Right? And there's a few times that appears in the scriptures. God wants us to use our feet and our footwear in preparation to preach to others, to do good unto others, not to do evil. So, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. A lot of the times the scriptures use poetic language to get the message across. So we, of course, are not a soldier of man where we're going to kill people. We are a soldier to fight off sin and to help others to the kingdom. So we're, as Mark said before, I heard him say, spiritual warriors. And that's what we have to do each morning. Each morning, we obviously have to dress physically, but we need to get out of bed and we need to put the armour of God on. So we come to the shield, one of the most important elements of the weaponry. And if you think of what Goliath did, he actually had someone stand before him. So that man was a human shield. So we're taking the shield of faith, and I think faith is one of the most important aspects of life, and we know that from 1 Corinthians 13. It talks about faith, hope, and love. The faith is what gets us through the hard times, and Mark mentioned that our brother and sister there have been having hard times. It's your faith that will help you through that time, your belief in God. And as everyone's been praying, you know, the fellowship that we have from others to give us support. So our faith is something really important. I remember When I was a year advisor of a school in the Northern Beaches, that I was in year 12, we were year 12, and one of the girls, a few weeks out, we have a major exam for the HSC, which is the last exam before they enter into the workforce or university. And 3 weeks before the exam, she actually went missing and never to be seen again. Mm. And it was very sad, obviously, and tragic. And someone at school said to me, one of the parents said, you know, it's okay for you because you have a faith, right? But others don't, and it's true. Our faith is what pulls us through those hard times and the persecutions and tribulations. Mm. So faith is really important. And you would be mad as a physical warrior to go into battle without the shield. You're not going to be standing around for too much longer. So the shield of faith, that is really important for us to develop our faith where we go. And we know that faith, we read of it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. But we develop our faith, don't we? Because we go through perseverance and trials, and that helps us with that. And we know that in James 2, verse 23, it talks about Abraham was a friend of God. He was a friend of God because of his great faith. And Romans 4 talks about that it's not just Abraham who can be a friend of God, it is all of us if we have that faith. So we need to find out and want to know more about God. All right, verse 17, I'll read the second part. It talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we all need to take our sword into battle. As a physical warrior, you're not going to be able to just kill someone if you don't have that sword. Obviously, as a spiritual warrior, we are trying to have that spirit, the sword of the Spirit, to fight against sin. And we must go on the attack against sin. We can't let sin fester in our temptation fester, because it leads to sin. And once that happens, then we go a downward path. So the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the sword and the shield are working together, right? We develop our faith by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. The Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. So there's a lot of teamwork there, and that's so with all of us. It's very hard to be a soldier in battle on your own. You might be able to kill a few people, but you're certainly not going to bring any problems against the army that you're fighting against. And it's so one soldier is good, one good soldier is great, but you know, many soldiers working together as a team is really what's going to win the battle. And that's so with our spiritual fight, isn't it, against sin. We can't do it alone, right? We need to rely on God, we need to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to rely on one another. We do it as a team. And the stronger we are as a team, the better we're going to be. And we think of 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about, you know, we are many members, but we are one body. And that's what we have to do. We have to work together. And that's what fellowship is, isn't it? Right? All fellows going in the boat in the one direction, working together. All right, so we've talked about the sword of the Spirit, and we've talked about the shield. So now, it goes on to talk about praying always with all prayer and supplication. So we need to pray. And 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 talks about pray without ceasing. Pray, do not stop, keep praying. All right? As a spiritual warrior, we need to read God's word, the Spirit. We need to pray about it. Right, keep asking God, he's happy to help. And it talks about being watchful to the end with all perseverance. Perseverance. A soldier in battle will persevere to the end. They will defend their king. All right? We need to do that. We need to get to the end and not give up. We need to persevere at all times. So a spiritual warrior is one who, right, when we make a commitment, as we know with baptism, we keep fighting to the end. To fight against sin and to serve our brothers and sisters and to serve God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are the aspects of this warrior here. Now, it seems to be something missing from our warrior at the moment. So let's have a look at go to Isaiah 59. There's something missing, isn't there, with this warrior at the moment, right? Seems to have all the equipment, but not all. Isaiah 59, now these are people who, are not serving their God with their best heart. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Well, that's us, isn't it? We are in the same, where our iniquities can separate us from God. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. Verse 7. Notice this one. Their feet run to evil. All right, once again, talking about feet that are running for the wrong purpose. God wants us to run for good, to help others, to preach the word. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Verse 9. Therefore justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. And so are we if we do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, if we do not have God in our lives. Verse 15. So truth fails. There's that belt, the belt of truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it and it displeased him that there was no justice. 17. Have a look at these words. Think about where these, what we've just read. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. This is God. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak and a helmet of salvation. God provided a way, didn't he? He provided a way for all of us. And we read back in verse, going back to Ephesians chapter 6, we read about verse 17. The final piece of the armoury of this soldier, this spiritual soldier. Right? And take the helmet of salvation. Right? A physical, think of a physical warrior, he would be absolutely mad to go into battle without a helmet on. Right? Absolutely crazy. Wouldn't last very long. Right? He needs that helmet. And so we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the helmet of salvation. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see that in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. I should say 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Sometimes get my verses and the numbers wrong way, which is a bit silly since I'm a math teacher, but nevertheless. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So we can see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the helmet of salvation. And we can confirm this in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is our helmet of salvation. So we're here to remember the Lord Jesus Christ this morning in the emblems, in the bread and the wine. And by remembering every morning to get up and put our armour of God on, and every morning to put on the helmet of salvation, that is what is essential for us to grow and to have that hope of eternal life. So we read a little bit more about this armour of God in Isaiah chapter 11. A beautiful chapter, as you know, talking about the kingdom, the millennium era. So it's just one to give you a lot of peace and to things to look forward to. But we'll look at verse 5. Talking, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. If you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he wore the armour of God every day. He had so much faith. He knew what his God wanted. He read and prayed to God. He persevered. He certainly preached the word. And his heart was pure before God. And he had truth at the forefront of his mind. So this theme of the armour of God spreads throughout the scriptures. There's a lot of spiritual clothing in the scriptures. It's interesting to read. So let's remember the Lord Jesus Christ today in the bread and the wine. I want you to think every day, as I should do when we get up, not just physically clothing, but clothe ourselves with the armour of God. Pray about it. All right, let's close with a reading from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8 to 10. So it says, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 to 10. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.